This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's good? Welcome back to another edition of the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. I am Blair Angulo, joined by Gabe Brooks. He covers the great state of Texas and other parts of the country down south. Gabe, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. What about you?
Doing well. It's January, Gabe, and we've got high school football to talk about. What's that all about?
Yeah, pretty unique circumstances. Still got the 5A and 6A public schools. The big boys here in Texas are still playing, and just finished up the state semifinal weekend in 5A and 6A. So the state championship matchups are set for next week at AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, and that's why we wanted to have you on. It was a big weekend down in the state of Texas, not only with the state playoffs, but I know we're going to have coverage of the Pylon 7-on-7, which is a big event for us every year and every recruiting cycle. But let's start at the top, Gabe, with Quinn Ewers, the Ohio State commit, quarterback, five-star prospect, number one player in the 2022 class, leading a comeback of sorts, an upset victory, and he's moving on to a state championship game.
Yeah, and you know, the numbers that he put up, you know, his 34-27 win against Duncanville, which was the back-to-back runner-up in 6A Division I, which is the largest classification here in Texas. That Duncanville defense is absolutely loaded. The numbers that Ewers put up are not going to jump out at you. 11 for 25, 168 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, six carries, 19 yards, and a touchdown. When you see that on paper, you're like, well, big deal. But the thing is that he started slow. He missed some throws early, but he got more of a rhythm as the game progressed. And as cliche as it sounds, he did a really good job protecting the ball, valuing the ball, not taking risks. He made some really big throws on key third down situations in the second half. Again, this is against a defense that the front seven, there's FBS and high major talent all over it. So to win this game, which again, you know, it's weird to say a perennial power with the number one player in the country for 2022 was the underdog. But yes, South Lake Carroll was the underdog against Duncanville. And Ewers' ability to keep them in the game and set up his running back, Owen Allen, who's a 2023 kid who ran for almost 200 yards. That speaks to his poise and how calm he was against such a great opponent. And also to the, you know, you got to credit South Lake Carroll's defense for pitching a second half shutout, because they were down 27-21 at half and won 34-27. But Ewers really made some big throws in the second half and limited mistakes. And it was kind of something where we've seen him put up monster numbers and have the, you know, the big highlight reel throws and scrambles and all that. But this was more of he had to grit one out, and he did that.
You know, Ohio State plays Alabama tonight in the college football playoff national championship. And obviously Quinn Ewers is headed to the next level to be a Buckeye. And it might be a silly question to ask you, but given, you know, how strong of a prospect he is, how good of a player he is, but his potential in that Ryan Day offense and maybe his skill set translating to what they like to do at the quarterback position. We've seen Justin Fields take tremendous leaps in his own development after his transfer in from Georgia. You know, we've seen it from the quarterback position there in Columbus in years past. Is there something unique that you see in Quinn Ewers that makes you think that he's going to be a guy that's going to be leading the Buckeyes to the college football playoff year after year and getting that invite to the Heisman ceremony?
Well, the thing about him that we've seen with recent past high-profile Texas high school football quarterbacks, such as Patrick Mahomes, such as Kyler Murray, such as Spencer Sanders at Oklahoma State, some of these guys who are dual threat, but they when they break the pocket and they're doing off schedule and going off platform, their first instinct is not to tuck and run. It's they're looking downfield for receivers. And what makes him so dangerous, what makes Ewer so dangerous, is that he's as comfortable standing in the pocket and facing the blitzes that he faces, because a lot of these teams that they play, they try to bring extra pressure because they know if they sit back there and let him have time that they really don't have a shot. So he's as comfortable sitting in the pocket and delivering in the face of pressure as he is breaking the pocket, making throws on the run. He's really, really natural in his body movement in space when he's out there on the perimeter, and not just throwing with his body, but across his body. He really, you know, 6'3", 200, he physically has the tools. He has the feel for the game. And for somebody who, you know, the quarterback at South Lake Carroll is kind of a glamour position in Texas high school football.
It's the Derek Jeter of the New York Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, that was Chase Daniel, Greg McElroy. His head coach, actually, Riley Dodge, the head coach at South Lake Carroll, was kind of the first of all of those guys who was – he kind of got famous in the early 2000s for winning a state title. He threw up pre-snap and then took the snap and then I think threw a touchdown pass. So it's kind of in a glamour position.
He went viral before you could go viral.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, Ewers is the latest in that line and looks like he's going to be the best one. So I think he's going to be a really good fit for Ohio State, and their fans should definitely be fired up about him.
We're joined by Gabe Brooks. He covers college football recruiting for 24/7 Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Gabriel D. Brooks. Now, Gabe, Quinn Ewers was not the only high-profile quarterback to come out victorious in the Texas State Championships. In the playoffs heading into the championship games, Caden Salter, Tennessee-bound four-star quarterback, already signed, also had a tremendous performance for Cedar Hill.
Yeah, and this was another one where it was some early mistakes, lost two fumbles in the first half, missed some shorter throws low, and then as the game went on, the poise and the really just the calm, like Salter has all year, you know, I've watched him against several teams with a lot of talent, with some, you know, high profile names like Denton Geyer this weekend, and then, you know, Alito and DeSoto and some of these other schools that have a lot of guys. And he never panics, you know, every now and then he'll take a risk, but he knows that it's on him to make a play, and it's risks you can live with because he makes so many of those plays. But he's really mobile, and he's another guy who is a natural, fluid, functional athlete when he breaks the pocket. They do a lot of stuff with him design, but he also will scramble and take off if nothing's there in the passing game. And I think we saw that yesterday. You know, he missed those throws early and still wound up 19 of 25, which you're going to take that every day of the week. You know, 19 to 25, 190 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions. He ran 31 times for 120 yards and a score. And, you know, the yards per carry aren't great, but they're also indicative of just how physical and how much of a grind this game was. You know, they built a 24-10 lead and kind of had to hold off Denton Geyer, who, you know, they were led by Eli Stowers, four-star, who's going to Texas A&M. And it was a game where Salter wasn't popping off big play after big play after big play, but he was converting big third downs. They had scoring drives in the final three quarters of 12, 15, 16, and 17 plays. So this was sustained, methodical offensive work here from Salter and Cedar Hill that has to be encouraging looking, you know, as he projects to the next level.
You know, I've only seen Caden Salter in person a couple times, but it's been in a 7-on-7 setting. And I told this story to Andrew Ivins, who covers recruiting down south in the state of Florida, Georgia, that whole area. And I told this story about Caden Salter on the early signing day edition of this podcast. And when I saw Salter back in February of last year at the battle event in Las Vegas, there was a coin flip moment where, you know, each team's trying to pick, you know, who's going to go first or who's going to defend first and whatever. And the other quarterback was an unknown at that time, no star prospect. He had three stars on 24/7 Sports, but had no stars on the composite. Didn't have any Power 5 offers, by the name of Jackson Dart. Ends up being a top 24/7 quarterback, signs with USC. But this was before all that. And Caden had no idea who he was, and he was playing playing, you know, a bunch of players from the state of Utah. And Caden asked that quarterback, the other captain, who he was. And he had no idea who he was. And Caden's like, all right, well, I'm going to show you what a four-star quarterback is. And not to you know, maybe say that he's arrogant or to say he's cocky or anything, but I feel like that demeanor is what you like to see out of a quarterback. And I feel like his presence, his ability to command that huddle, I think is going to make him a star at Tennessee.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right about the personality and the demeanor it takes to be a quarterback, a successful quarterback at that level. You don't want your quarterback necessarily to just be a complete jerk to everybody he comes in contact with, but you want him to have some of that abrasiveness on some level, in the sense of everybody in the huddle knowing who the boss is and who's calling the shots. And, you know, again, looking back at players in the recent past, like Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray and all, like everybody at Allen, which is the largest high school in Texas, and Kyler Murray's offense, he was the quarterback, and Greg Little was the right tackle, and Bobby Evans was the left tackle, and Jalen Guyton was his number one receiver. Everybody knew that Kyler Murray was calling the shots, and Patrick Mahomes is the same way. He was a three-sport guy, and in every sport, he was the unquestioned leader on the field or on the diamond or on the court, as long as he was out there. And that's what you want to see. You want to see somebody who it, you know, like you said, isn't necessarily arrogant, but has a little of the, I know I'm good, and this is what I'm going to do. You need some of that at the quarterback spot, no doubt.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the intangibles that you have to look for, especially at the quarterback position. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with more from Gabe Brooks.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. Just wanted to remind you guys to listen to the College Football Daily Podcast, hosted by the great Trey Scott. Trey has an in-depth discussion and great guests every day. And like this very football recruiting podcast, you can find it by searching College Football Daily on all your favorite podcast platforms. So you mentioned Eli Stowers earlier on. He's headed to Texas A&M, obviously a losing effort, but had some flashes where you can kind of see his potential. Didn't have the best day statistically, 3 interceptions, but I feel like the Aggies should be excited about his tool set and what he's going to be able to bring to College Station.
Well, the obvious things about Stowers are frame, 6'4", 205. You know, he's got the athletic profile as somebody who, I believe as a sophomore, was the 6A state champion in the high jump with a 7-foot personal record in the high jump. And when you see him get in the open field in the, you know, in the running game, whether design or scramble or whatever, the athleticism is obviously there. You know, he had that bad knee injury in the state championship game last year, and based on what he did running the ball this year, he seems to be, you know, completely fine in the health department. I mean, he ran for more than 1,000 yards, 18 touchdowns. The 18 scores were a career high, and he's a 3-year starter for a very high profile program in the Dallas area. Now, like you said, he had the 3 interceptions. One was on the last play of the second quarter going into the half. You know, one was along the sideline that looked like a throwaway that he didn't quite get enough on it to get out of bounds, and a DB kind of fell under it and toe tapped. And I think the third was inside the 5 on a 3rd and goal where they had gotten backed up to like the 21, and he tried to throw a ball toward the right front pylon, and it got picked off. But You know, he had a 61-yard touchdown run early in the game on one of those read keepers. The thing that, for me, that is interesting is looking at last year's passing production compared to this year. And last year, he threw for 36 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. And this year, that ratio was 18 to 12. So there was not as much comfort in the passing game, it seemed like. I think he was every bit the runner he's ever been. We could still see the flashes of excellence in the passing game. He's got a huge arm. He's fairly aware. He knows how to spin out of trouble and extend plays. But, you know, it is noteworthy to compare the numbers from one year to the next in the sense of how he's going to project to the next level.
I mean, to me, it sounds like he's a carbon copy of Kellen Mond. I mean, he just has so many of the same tools, the size, the ability to improvise, and then he's able to hit some of these intermediate passing attempts. He's not going to, you know, I guess blow the roof off and put up huge numbers, but I think he's going to be a pretty steady contributor for the Aggies. Moving on to Auburn signee Demetrius Davis, also a losing effort, came from behind, but Austin Westlake had a come from behind win as well later on to I guess unseat the defending state champion. Auburn's getting a quarterback that at times is pretty electric and pretty, you know, in a way kind of entertaining with the way he's able to move the ball downfield. New coach Brian Harsin arrives, and he's going to be getting a quarterback that I feel has a potential to be a really steady contributor for them.
Yeah, and the thing about Davis is this is somebody who, as a sophomore and junior, led his team to, and yes, they're loaded, but he led his team to consecutive 6A Division I state championships. They were going for a three-peat this year, you know, ran into an Austin Westlake team that is playing a level of defense as good as anyone in Texas right now. But, you know, Davis, like Ewers or you know, some of these other guys, the stats may not jump off the page, but he did have a pretty solid day. Having watched that game from start to finish, he was 10-19, 140 yards, 1 touchdown, did throw 2 interceptions. He ran 19 times for 67 yards and 1 touchdown. He played better than the numbers suggest. And he had a couple of throws. He had one late in the game, particularly on a possession that ended up in it was their last possession, a turnover on downs. He had a deep ball from around his own 10, I think, that 50 yards in the air, just right on the money to beat triple coverage, and it hit the guy in the hands. You know, he was outstretched and everything, but hit the guy in the hands and dropped it. And I mean, it was one where I was thinking, you know, if that had been Shadrack Banks, the 4-star A&M signee, who is North Shore's best playmaker at the skill positions, if that had been him catching that ball, that probably would have been a big play and a completion. But, you know, Davis made some really good throws. I think some of the questions are the measurables. When he misses high. I think he has trouble sometimes staying on top of the ball, but he's so good improvisationally, and I think that's something that is increasingly important at the quarterback position. He's a very good runner. He's a terrific athlete in a functional sense of making guys, you know, making the first rusher miss, making the first guy at the second level miss when he gets loose. And he has, you know, as much big game experience as a quarterback can have coming out of the high school, game. And that's something. Even if the measurables are not exactly perfect in what you want to see, winning as many games and as many high leverage situations as he has at the highest level of Texas high school football is definitely worth something.
Yeah, it should definitely count for something, and obviously gives you, you know, I guess some notches in that belt heading into the next level. Gabe, before we let you go, let's move on to the 2022 class. It's now the year 2021, and we're going to start focusing on this junior turning to senior class. Cade Klubnik had a really good performance as well on that other side of that North Shore Westlake game. And then were there any other 2022 prospects that stood out to you this weekend?
Well, in addition to Cade Klubnik, the pass rusher from Duncanville, Omari Abor, who is a top 20 player for us in the top 247 rankings for the 2022 class. he was an absolute terror in Duncanville's loss to South Lake Carroll. He's in the 6'4", 240 range. He's played a lot of basketball, so he's a multi-sport athlete, super physical, really twitchy off the edge, was playing a lot of snaps against South Lake Carroll in a standing edge position, which I think really maximized his get-off and his ability to run the arc and bend off the edge. But I think that he's somebody that, you know, he's already, I think, 19th overall for us, but I could still see him going higher because he seems he's as good of a pass rusher as I have seen this year. And I have watched Duncanville a few different times and every time, like when they played Cedar Hill and he had Caden Salter, running for his life the entire night. He's somebody who this is a you know, quote unquote franchise type pass rusher who has a ton of potential moving forward.
Yeah, a prospect that is definitely on five-star watch. Gabe Brooks, you're on five-star watch as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
All right, that is Gabe Brooks. You can follow him on Twitter at Gabriel D. Brooks. He covers college football recruiting in the great state of Texas and the surrounding states for 24/7 Sports. That will do it for us. Check back with us later this week for another episode of the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.